The following program may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
It's the Saturday Morning Cereal.
They're great!
What's your emergency?
I wish we had some Cap'n Crunch.
Death waited in the dark at the hands of a man they called the Night Stalker.
Always have to be Lucky Charms.
Yahoo! I'm Cuckoo!
Theodore Robert Bundy. You are charged 2 counts burglary, 2 counts murder in the first degree, 3 counts attempted murder in the first degree.
I'll plead not guilty right now.
The refrigerator where Jeffrey Dahmer kept body parts.
They're magically delicious.
I am prepared to die if you say it is necessary.
Recognize me, damn it!
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Silly rabbit.
So I'm a little curious about this edition, Jackson, of Saturday Morning Cereal, because we're actually recording it on Halloween.
Yes.
But the release date is after Halloween.
Yes.
So is this a Halloween-centric Saturday Morning Cereal?
It is, but it was on accident.
Okay.
So it was just one of those ones. I think I found it originally on Thrillist. Gosh, I'm going to have to go back and look at my sources. I always post the sources, by the way, in the description on the podcast, so you'll be able to find it. I'm pretty sure it was either Thrillist or Ranker, but it was one of those lists that was like, these crazy, bizarre murders. So I picked one off of that.
Got it.
Not realizing, not even thinking about Halloween or anything, but it's got somewhat of a paranormal twinge to it. I'll say.
Allow me to paint the picture for you here in studio for the Saturday Morning Cereal. Jackson is dressed as Nightcat.
Yeah.
His alter ego.
So if you don't listen to our like daily morning show, it's like an inside joke. Whenever we play trivia games, John makes us buzz in with our name. Uh-huh. So, you know, he'll ask the question and then we have to buzz in, Jackson Monroe. And like, hello. Mm-hmm. Then whoever says their name first gets to answer the question. Well, one day, and I don't even know why, I don't know where it came from, I just started saying Nightcat instead of my name.
Mm-hmm.
So I dressed as Nightcat for Halloween. It took on a life of its own. Nightcat's like a brand now.
So he's got a cape. He's got a mask. He's got kitty ears.
Can I tell you this mask? I have faux fur on it. It did not. Yeah. I didn't purchase it like that. I had to buy faux fur.
Are you kidding?
And I laid the faux fur down on
Jackson.
It, which was a lot of work.
I swear.
But then I'm looking at all the photos and videos. You can't even tell it's fur. It just looks like a black mask.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it was
no.
all that work for absolutely no payoff.
So Jackson's dressed as that. I'm wearing the Handmaid's Tales outfit, just like this red gown.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monroe is wearing like a. How do you describe that?
I'm security.
So
I'm the
Nick.
Nick
from Handmaid's
Tale. I'm Nick.
So that's how we're dressed as we get into today's Saturday Morning Cereal.
Yeah. All right. I do want to go over my sources. It looks like Wikipedia. Oh, Boredom Therapy is where I found this. So Boredom Therapy is just one of those like clickbait websites that I love to visit. But they had a really decent write-up on it. And Murderpedia, naturally, to fill in the gaps.
Of course.
Because, you know, those like listicles are great, but they don't have a lot of the guts of the story.
Yeah.
So I go to Murderpedia and Wikipedia to fill it
They're
all
like
in.
A broadsword.
Exactly, yeah. All right, this story happens in 2006. I want you to put yourselves in Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada. Yes. I don't know anything about Medicine
Hat. I was just going to say,
I wish I had anything to back that point.
Yeah.
There's probably birds and trees there, I would guess.
A?
Yeah, A.
A.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
That's wildly offensive, I'm sure. Anyway. So far as everyone could tell, 12-year-old Jasmine Richardson was just like your average preteen. So all of her friends and her family described her as really bright. She was happy, happy-go-lucky, very social, a social butterfly, very outgoing, and enjoyed loved going to the movies, loved going to concerts, and just like your normal average little girl, you know, just hanging out with her friends. Well, it's at one of these concerts that her life would take a really horrifying turn. She met a 23-year-old by the name of Jeremy Steinke. Jeremy Again, 23.
Yep.
She is 12.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Not right Jasmine there. Fell head over heels in love with Jeremy. Now, I remember when you're 12, we all went through that goth phase, 12, 13, 14, where everything was horrible. We're just angsty and mad at the world.
Sure.
Well, Jeremy never grew out of that. And so to 12-year-old Jasmine, Jeremy was like, cool. He was the bee's knees.
23.
Yeah, he's 23. Mm. And which means that he's gross for being interested in a child. He has his own set of problems. So we always talk about how things are so complicated. No one's 100% a good guy and 100% a bad guy.
Right.
Life is complicated. So he was raised by an abusive alcoholic mother who really did a number on him. He struggled with his mental health anyway. He had severe depression. And by the time he met Jasmine, he had already attempted suicide a couple times. So he was kind of a mess. Oh, and he's a werewolf.
I'm sorry. I was with you up there. Even the goth, I'm like, okay, I get it. But he's
a werewolf.
He's a werewolf.
Yep. He's a self-professed werewolf.
Ah.
He claims that he is 300 years old. He's on a lot of like werewolf vampire forums where he has his 300-year-old werewolf self persona just wolfing around out there.
He's wolfing around, as they say.
You know how it is.
You know. I'm just wolfing.
Do. Yeah, what
wolfing
are you doing,
it up
what are you doing
last
on Friday?
Night.
I don't know. I got to do laundry, but I also just kind of want to wolf around. So we've all been there.
Uh-huh.
So he dresses in all black. He's wearing eyeliner. And remember, goth's eyeliner. He's really playing the part for her, and she's into it in a big way. He even wore a little vial of blood around his neck.
Oh.
Now, I searched. I looked through several websites. Could not find out anything about this blood. Was it his blood? Was it someone else's blood? Was it even human? Was it animal blood? Was it even real blood? Couldn't find any information. All they knew is that he was a 300-year-old werewolf who wore blood around his neck.
Angelina Jolie started that style back in the day.
That was gross.
Probably around that time, too.
2006. No, this is way after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's 23 in 2006. That was her and Billy Bob Thornton.
That would have been late
90s. Yeah, 96, 97.
Yeah.
I forgot all about that. Yeah. It's so nasty.
Yeah.
Sherry, you want to wear my blood around your neck?
Stupid.
No, never.
Stupid,
that's awful.
Lame.
300-year-old werewolf wore the blood around his neck. He sounds like you're just average run-of-the-mill crazy pants.
Yep.
But to 12-year-old Jasmine, again, he's edgy, cool. She wants to be in his life. We were all 12 once, so.
He's an older man. He's 300.
Yeah, he's 300.
I mean, that right there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't date a 300-year-old.
It's too old for you.
Like. It's too, well, I mean, how rich are we talking?
Because
I've seen some rich vampires.
True.
Right.
I'd be willing to mess with a 300-year-old. Plus, if he got turned when he was 23, he's always going to look 23, even though he is 300.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
let's
not be too quick to dismiss a werewolf or a vampire here. So the two began talking online, like, constantly. Mm-hmm. They are 24 hours a day. She's head over heels. It's her first big love. And we've all, we've all been there. I really want to drive that point home, because what's about to happen is so horrifying that I need you to understand what's going through her head.
Okay.
Not that I'm excusing at all what she did.
Okay.
But you should know. He gets her into a forum called vampirefreaks.com. This is a website that currently exists if you'd like to join. It's a forum for vampire lovers and vampire enthusiasts and people who believe themselves that they are vampires.
Freaks.
Vampirefreaks.com.
Just go ahead and go to that right now.
And in fact, actually, later on, the police they believe for the longest time that this is actually where they met, but they did meet at the concert. His friends all said, yeah, we met her at this concert.
The page is very active right now since we are recording this on Halloween.
It is Halloween.
And there's a lot of posts happening at once.
Yeah, it'll keep refreshing. Mm-hmm. It might crash. I mean, vampirefreaks.com.
Right. Very popular.
Like one of the highest traffic sites in the world. Now she finally breaks it to her family and friends that she's, at first it starts with her, like, she starts dressing in all black, and that wasn't normal for her. She starts posting really mopey, MySpace statuses and photos on MySpace where she's, like, holding guns, and she writes just really cryptic, passages. Like, one of them was just like, welcome to the beginning of my end, and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So her family starts to get concerned, because this is not the social little girl that they've known forever, you know? Like, this is super
also,
out
you're
of character.
12!
Yeah. But that's the thing, too. It's just like, is it because she's 12 and going through all this, like everyone did, or is something really wrong? Normally, I would just say, yeah, she's just a teenager, let it go. But her parents are actually really worried about this rapid personality and mood shift, so they ask her about what's going on in her life, and she says that she's dating a 23-year-old.
Okay, so she's open about it.
Now, when your 12-year-old tells you that she's dating a 23-year-old, how are you going to react?
Not well.
Yeah, not in a
positive. It's going to go very poorly. Mm-hmm. And it did. They're like, you cannot date a 23-year-old. You are 12. Stop this right now. And they banish her from talking to him or seeing him.
Yeah.
But we know what happens when that happens.
This is one of my biggest fears in life. I just want you to know.
Well,
I know.
Especially really with your daughter.
Yeah.
Because the way that she already just wants to do the opposite of anything you tell her, it's getting worse by the minute.
Yeah.
She's going to test your patience. Uh-huh. And the problem is you can't tell her no because she's just going to do it more.
I know.
It's going to be such a problem. But that's just, again, that's just teenager stuff.
Yeah.
So she's absolutely devastated by this, but now she's just carrying on this horrifying relationship in secret with this 300-year-old werewolf. and it pretty much goes off the rails at that point, is completely out of control, because now this 300-year-old vampire or werewolf is telling Jasmine all the things that she wants to hear, like they don't believe in our love, but I'm in love with you. And for all intents and purposes, and I'm not, again, agreeing with this, but it sounds like he wasn't trying to control her. Like, he genuinely was in love with her too. But she's 12,
still
and
no
you
excuse.
can't be in love with a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Sorry,
nope.
Pal. This you can't
how
do it,
works.
It. This is not 1902 anymore, all right? That used to fly. It doesn't fly anymore. So they start emailing back and forth, and he is slowly convincing her over the course of a couple weeks that if they ever want to be happy, her family's got to go away.
Oh, no.
And they plan to kill her family.
No.
On April 23rd, 2006, Jeremy and his buddies are watching Natural Born Killers. Of course they are. Of course they are.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, Natural Born Killers, it has Woody Harrelson and Juliette Lewis in it. They're a young couple, and they go on this crazy murdering spree.
It's like a Bonnie and Clyde, but instead of robberies, they're murderers.
They're murderers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they commit like 52 murders across the U.S., and they're...
I actually love the movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah.
I haven't seen it for years. Maybe that's what I'll watch tonight for Halloween. Jeremy would go on to be quoted as calling it, are you ready for this? The greatest love story ever told.
Because
Jeremy's crazy and a werewolf. So he and his buddies are all watching this. And then a few hours later, he ditches them and he shows up at Jasmine's house. And we will talk about what happens right after this break. On Saturday Morning Serial, we talk a lot about the big scary things, like serial killers, murderers.
People who wear flesh as suits.
Yeah, flesh suits.
People who go out for walks and never come home.
Now, you two think about those things a fair amount, but how often are you thinking about the small scary things? Like, what are you going to do if you're in a car accident? Or what if you're going to do if there's medical malpractice? I don't know if you've listened to Dr. Death, but that podcast... explained all sorts of different things that can happen at a doctor's office.
He decapitated her.
Exactly. Slip and falls. Wrongful death. There are all sorts of things that you need to be worrying about on a day-to-day basis, not just on a weekly basis, Saturday Morning Serial. And that's why you need to get hold of my friends over at Robert J. DeBry. Robert J. DeBry & Associates has 45 years of experience in all kinds of different law, so they can help you in case you do get into a car accident or if something happens. Listen, your insurance company's not going to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
We see it all the time. Insurance company, as nice as they might sound, that big building is not being built because they're paying out claims, okay?
I've heard that insurance companies, they actually are called Dr. Death in some circles. That's what I have heard.
That's what I refer to them as.
Exactly.
It's because they don't want to pay out in case something happens. So Robert J. DeBry & Associates are going to make sure that your insurance company pays you what is fair in case there's an accident. Check them out online today at robertdebry.com. Or give them a call
at 801-699-9999.
Welcome back. Did you enjoy that break?
It was not. I stretched.
Uh-huh.
I took a nice little...
Whatever. We just continue. We're rolling right through. We're going to keep recording. All right. So now this is the part that gets a little bit fuzzy. Because she is a minor at the time, so much of her involvement was hidden from the press.
Okay.
And the press, when the story broke and they found out how old she was, they couldn't use her name, so the details are really hazy, or I just couldn't find them. Like, they either don't exist, or I couldn't track them down.
Got it.
But, essentially, this is what ends up happening. So I don't know how much of this she committed, Jasmine committed, how much of it Jeremy committed, how much they did together.
Got it.
But he has one of his buddies drive him to the house. He gets in there, and in one way or another, he starts going after her parents. So he stabs Deborah, or someone stabs Deborah, a dozen times.
That's a lot of stabs.
Mm. Yeah.
We always talk about it's never one.
It's one. It is always one or two or 100. Uh-huh. Like, it's never like four.
No.
Calling it a day.
No.
They always just get real stabby. When they start going, they never stop.
Yep.
So Deborah gets stabbed close to a dozen times. They think right after that, Mark, Jasmine's dad, is stabbed afterward, and he tries to defend himself. So he grabs the closest thing he has to, and it's in the middle of the night, so I'm assuming they were sleeping.
Yeah, so you don't know what's happening. All of a sudden, you're getting stabbed a bunch of times.
Yeah. So he grabs a screwdriver, and he tries to fight him off. He tries he hangs in there for a really hard time, and he is trying desperately to get to his 8-year-old son's room. And no. We don't know if he realized it was Jasmine who was doing this, because if it was pitch black and he's just getting attacked.
He's probably just trying to protect his family.
He's trying to get to Jasmine and to his son. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to do it. He dies of stab wounds 14 times, gets stabbed.
Jeez.
All right, now Jasmine, at this point, she's trying to figure out what the next step is because, I mean, she's panicking, but she's also like, finally, I'm free. I get to go live with the love of my life. My horrible parents have stopped, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But there's still the matter of the 8-year-old brother in the other room.
Please, no.
I know. Bear with me here. Dude. This part gets really bad. So she sits down and she tries to think about what she should do because she didn't want to kill her young brother. But at the same time, she's like, what would be worse, him dying now or him growing up without parents knowing what I did? So someone, again, I don't know which one, went into his room and slit his throat. So, yeah. All bad. All really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
And that's when Jeremy and Jasmine, they leave the scene, they jump in the car, and they take off. So the next day, one of the little neighbor boys comes over to see if the brother can come out to play. So he knocks on the door a bunch of times, rings the doorbell a bunch of times, no one's answering. He starts looking through the windows, and that's when he finds the crime scene.
Oh,
I don't know how old this kid is, but if he's hanging out with the brother, he's probably 8 or 9. Yeah.
Jeez.
So a child finds this. Dude. It's just horrifying. And that kid, I mean, he's got to be pretty messed up about that.
Yeah.
He gets a hold of the police. The police show up. And at first, they think that Jasmine is part of this crime. Like, they were afraid.
Was she kidnapped?
That she got kidnapped, that she got killed, and they can't find the body. It's sort of like the Kloss case. Jamie Kloss.
Right.
But John, when it was unfolding, was obsessed with. Jamie Kloss. If you don't know anything about that, what was the name of the podcast you listened to, Monroe?
Oh, what was it? It's Something Days.
However long she was missing.
Yeah, 90 days.
88 days.
88 days.
Yeah, you should listen to that. It is so sad.
Mm-hmm. So sad.
Because they interview, like, all of Jamie Kloss's family. But if you don't know that case, Jamie Kloss, some guy kidnapped her and killed her whole family. And then she managed to survive 88 days being held captive by him. And she made a break for it and actually ran to safety, which is just... To have the strength to do that is beyond my comprehension.
Yeah.
That's... What an amazing... She was 13, I think. And... I mean, when she finally escaped, it didn't get much better. Her family was still dead, so...
Yeah.
But that story is crazy. So anyway, so the police are looking for her, are looking for Jasmine, as if she is one of the victims. And it's not until they find Jeremy and Jasmine in Saskatchewan, Canada, that they realize that they were actually in cahoots for this.
Can you tell me, I mean, maybe this is one question too many. So they're hanging out in Canada. Are they living in like a motel, just enjoying life together?
That's what it sounds like. Okay. I mean, yeah, there are lots of, In fact, killer couples are pretty rare, but it does happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard the story. It started with Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, the documentary on HBO,
okay,
where this girl grows up and she has all sorts of autoimmune diseases. She's got cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And her mom is her sole caretaker.
Yes.
Daughter's name is Gypsy Rose. And she ends up meeting this guy online, and it turns out that she's actually a victim of Munchausen by proxy. She's not actually sick at all. Her mom is making her sick.
Mom's just been poisoning her.
Because her mom likes the attention she gets from her daughter being sick. She likes being, she feels useful taking care of people. Munchausen's is heartbreaking. Ugh. It's the most horrifying disease, but you should look, if you haven't seen The Act on Hulu or Mommy, Dead, and Dearest, that's another one I would recommend. I'll put all these recommendations in the podcast description.
Okay.
But yeah, that was another case of a killer couple where, like, the evil mom was keeping them apart from each other, and this older boy comes in and is just like, well, let's take care of this.
I'll
and he kills the mom, and they run off together to start their happy life.
Yeah.
And so I would assume that they escaped to Saskatchewan, and that was a very similar thing. But they didn't go, they got found pretty quick.
Okay.
I don't know how, but they tracked him down, I think, within, like, the same day.
Oh, that's not
like
a long time.
Oh, yeah. No. They didn't have a lot of time to really set up shop anywhere.
Yeah.
So, They get arrested, and it all comes out what happens. But again, when they find out that Jasmine is underage,
mm-hmm.
In Canada you cannot use their name in the press. So once they realize that she's a perpetrator, not a victim,
mm-hmm.
they all have to just basically stop writing stories about it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So or they had to refer to her as the unnamed 13-year-old.
Yeah.
But
the name's already out there.
The name's already out there because she was a victim, not a perpetrator.
Huh.
So it creates this big problem with the press on how are we going to report this.
Right.
Which is another reason why it's hard to find details that you can really, like, power through on this.
Got it.
And I will be the first to say that there are probably mistakes in the way that I'm telling the story, too. Because I just don't know what the truth is.
Sure.
I wasn't in Canada in 2006, so right. to up there, that was a huge, I mean, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Canada doesn't get a lot of murder to begin with, but when something like this happens, it's like
story.
A huge deal. 12 years old, by the way, in Canada, is the youngest you can be and get tried for murder. So if you're under 12, you can't even be tried as a murderer, and you have to be 14 in order to get tried as an adult.
Okay.
So they end up trying her as a child for first-degree murder. She, I believe, gets convicted. She definitely gets convicted. Found guilty of 3 counts of first-degree murder in the killing. By this time, she was 13 and had been in jail for about a year.
Yeah.
She is the youngest person to ever be convicted of multiple murder in Canada. She was sentenced to the maximum penalty of 10 years. That's what it is. So she ends up getting sentenced to 10 years, and she gets released in 2016. So she's
released.
Out and about.
She's out there now.
Yep. As far as Jeremy goes, Jeremy was an adult, tried as an adult, is currently in prison and trying to appeal his sentence.
Why?
I don't understand what his grounds on appeal are. He got life imprisonment, which, you murdered a whole family.
Is he blaming the police officers? Or
I'm sure his defense attorneys.
Yeah, well, they're just picking apart the trial at this point.
Yeah, and that's what defense attorneys do.
Yep.
And I got to give it up for them. Like, they fight for their client, and respect that because we've seen a million times how flawed our criminal justice system is. I don't know what it's like up in Canada, but things slip through the cracks and bad decisions are made. And you need, when you're accused of a crime, even if you committed it and you're super guilty, you deserve the right to due process. You deserve the right to a fair trial. And defense attorneys ensure that no one's infringing on your constitutional rights.
So did he get an appeal?
He got an appeal, but it has not been heard yet. He's gotten rejected, and he changed his name. So now he goes by Jackson May. hoping that people won't know who he is. But there were news, because there were not the same rules with press with regard to him.
Sure.
So it came out that he thought he was a werewolf. It came out that he wore a vial of blood around his neck. That's why we know so much more about Jeremy than we ever did about Jasmine.
Got it.
And then when he changed his name, all of the papers in Canada ran a story. Oh, multiple murderer Jeremy Steinke changes his name to Jackson May. And so now everyone knows who he is anyway.
What a loser.
Not that it matters, because he's in prison.
Yeah.
But yeah, he wrote a letter. The letter that I read, he wrote a letter of appeal to a judge. And the judge was like, no, you actually have to appeal through a court, and your time hasn't come up. So there's like a waiting time he has to reach before he'll appeal. But he keeps writing these appeal letters, and the judges keep telling him, you can't get out of prison. You murdered a whole family.
I would love to hear from Jasmine.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Just to see. I mean.
Yeah.
I'm just
where
curious.
Where she's at.
I want to know where she's at.
In her mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If she still stands by it, you know, if she's remorseful.
Yeah. She's got to be remorseful.
I don't know, man.
But, I mean, again, I wanted to explain to you how young she was and kind of what position, because we've all been in that same position where we had our first love and we would have really done anything.
Well, she's so young that she believes this guy's a werewolf.
And actually believes he's a werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, to her, it's not just a role-playing game. Like, she believed him and when he said, oh, yeah, I'm 300 years old.
Still murdered her parents and her baby brother.
Right, well, yeah. So, yeah, I'd like to know what she says.
Yeah.
For all the bad things we said about Jeremy's mother being an abusive alcoholic,
yes,
she stood by him through this entire trial.
No kidding.
Yeah, so she visits him in prison as regularly as she can. She's on oxygen in some of the photos that I've seen, so like she's dealing with her own health problems. Still went to court every day supporting her son. So again, people are messy.
Yep.
Like it's just people are complicated. No one's a good guy or a bad guy 100% the way through.
You know what the story reminds me of? It was one of the first Saturday morning serials we did where the dad woke up to someone like murdering the family and he fought him off, and then like the house caught on fire and he ended up being able to get out of the house. And he survived. He was like the only one to survive.
Oh, that's right. And he was like, just kill me. My whole family's in there. The house is burning. They're all dead. Just kill me. I forgot about that.
And they were like,
story.
Your daughter survived. Uh-huh. He was so excited.
And then she ended up being the murderer.
She was the murderer.
Oh, that's right.
Do you
right.
remember that story?
Yes.
That
sucked.
That story haunts me. So,
that's
yeah,
so sad.
I forgot about that one. Yeah. That's how desensitized
I
am.
That's how you are.
Like, to me, in order to really stick with me, it has to be cannibalism or worse. Like, that's the level of horrified I've been in my life.
Yeah.
That is your Saturday morning cereal.